Lee, do you have one?
Personal
for Lee. For Garrett and Melissa, Kenna. So, for the whole family.
Yeah, basically, and mom for dealing with it.
Michael?
What would
she
say about
that? Josh is back. Clint's shoulders.
Josh tweaked his back, and Rowan has tummy pain.
And Rowan's got stomach aches.
And D.
Okay, who else? I'd appreciate your prayers because I'm going through something. I don't know what it is. It's just feel the evil just coming upon our town and everything, and trying to wrestle with it every day is a bit much. Remember, we have that solar eclipse coming up. I don't know what all that means, but it's certainly one of the biggest coincidences in the history of man, so it isn't. I won't tell you about a dream I had, and that'll just... We definitely need prayer. Because remember, every one of us is a priest, and we have the right, and we have access to the throne of God, and he does hear our prayers. So we need to bombard the throne of God and become prayer warriors till we break through. Because a breakthrough can come, but you just have to stay with it, as evidenced by the prophets of old. So anyway, happy birthday to Brittany and to Joanne. Tomorrow's her birthday, but Andrew, too. You're the 12th, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah. So that... What?
I'll be 41.
41. That goes so quickly. I remember when you guys were born. A long time ago. Appreciate your prayers for me as I bring forth the words. So let us bow. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you for having access to your throne. And we pray that you would remove all demonic attacks against us, our bodies, our souls, our brains, our families, the church. We pray that you get our thoughts pure in the word, pure in our faith, and that we would be strengthened and encouraged in the inner man. For we thank and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're still on faith. And under the concept of faith, we left off last week on faith looks towards God's ability, not our inability. Because he does the impossible, and that's all we need. Next point, it needs to be persuaded and encouraged from time to time. Because you will get down in your faith. It happens in life. Job got down in his. Every Old Testament and New Testament believer from time to time get down in their faith. So we need to have it encouraged. And one of the jobs that we have as believers is to encourage the other believer towards faith. Stop coming up with all the negative. Of all the reasons why something can't be done, and look at things from a positive standpoint. And so it needs to be persuaded and encouraged. We also have to remember that we are under grace. And you chose the grace option years ago to believe in Christ as your Savior. That puts you under grace. That means under grace, this is how God's going to deal with you throughout your entire life, is on the basis of grace, not on your works. So under the basis of grace, it's all that God can do for you in his grace. So if you are alive, what does that mean? grace hasn't stopped. If you are alive, no matter what you've gone through, no matter how old and beat up you are still under grace. Now, what that means is everything that God has is still in store for you. So we start off with the plan of God. The people that God does not know and they do not know him, they're out there in their works, trying to get by in life by whatever means possible. But under grace, it means that God has a plan for your life. Even when you get old, I'd like to remind you that Moses began his life with God when he was 80 years old. Well, I've hit 80, and I'm telling you, all I want to do is sit down and be comfortable. But here he was, tromping around a desert, dealing with a bunch of knuckleheads, and it was God's plan for his life. So no matter what you've gone through, whether you lost people through divorce or death, or they just turning their backs on you, God's grace plan still is there for your life. So this is some of the things that we have to convince ourselves of. And every time you go through a trial, it will always be a battle to stand firm in your faith and come through to the other side. So you have to just stick with the whole plan of attack of living the Christian life. The power of God is still there for you, whatever you need. And for many of us who've almost died, his power and his provisions got all of us through. My wife, myself, my son, all went through the hospital thing. God took us through the whole thing and brought us through to the other side. So you have to remind you that the power of God is still there for you, the provisions of God, the promises of God, they're still there for you. The presence of God, he's still there with us. He's not only with us, he's in us. So when it talks about being persuaded and encouraged, the only way we get that is by focusing in on those things. So you got to focus in on the Word of God. And little by little, more by more, you'll crawl out of the hole that you find yourself in. And especially when we look around at what's going on in America, which is should be a big no-no, but it's hard not to. It's like a train wreck. You know you shouldn't watch it, but you do anyway. It's just our human nature. And all we can do is pray about this stuff, put it in his hands, and trust that God will take care of it. And he will. He always does in his time. I guess you don't have to be informed about how the dollar's purchasing power is going down and down. And last time we had this was when Jimmy Carter was president. You know, when you're on a fixed income, and everything costs more and more, and you start to get a little panicky because they devalue the currency. We need to be convinced of God's intentions toward us. Now, these are things that build up our faith. What is his intentions for us? Well, from what we see in scriptures, they're good. You say, but Mike, we just read around bad stuff happened to these guys. And why did that happen? Because they chose wrong. They chose the wrong way. They didn't choose for truth. So if you've chosen for truth in your life and you want to live the Christian life and please God with your life, I think that's a good decision. And it should have good consequences. And at the top of the list of all things, God's intentions toward us are proven that he offered up his son to suffer death on the cross to pay for our sins so that we could be saved. So if he did the most for us while we were his enemies, why wouldn't he do more that were his beloved children? So these are some of the things that we have all got to mull over in our heads and meditate upon. Meditation is a good thing. Meditation simply means that you think about a biblical verse or a promise or a doctrine, and you get into that whole field where you're thinking about it and cogitating on it in your mind. And that's where the real benefit comes from. It says, if you meditate upon thy word day and night. Now, in the Hebrew mind, day and night was how they divided up the daytime. So we're in the day, 6 p.m. tonight is nighttime. So sometime during the day and sometime during the evening, you want to be thinking about these things. And it means any doctrine of God's word. The persuasion of argument is how we do this. When I talk about argument, when we say the word argument, we picture two people yelling and screaming and carrying on. No, argument is the discussion of the points and the counterpoints, so that we discuss these things. Because sometimes people can be persuaded. If they're focused on the wrong type of thing, they need to have the right type of thing brought into their mind. Or the display of evidence. Now, the display of evidence, who can think of a really big one that God is with you? Well, how about after God delivered Israel out of Egypt? Remember that story? He dried up the Red Sea. He got them all the way through to the other side. And if they turned around and looked back, they would see footprints in the dirt. Every one of those footprints, those 2 million people, was evidence that God was faithful to them and he had a plan for their lives. Why did he take, see, this is reverse logic. Why did he take us out of Egypt? Why did he destroy their army? Why did he destroy their civilization? Why did we have all of their gold and silver in our pickup beds? And the enemy is dead. Why did he do that? Well, obviously, the Creator must have had a good plan for their lives. They were released from their slavery. All the firstborn were dead. The crops were gone. Food supply was gone. Disease and filth all over the place. And the army that was chasing them, most powerful army on earth, ends up being drowned to death when the Red Sea came back. And you're standing there, and you're just fine. Why? What are God's intentions for us? For me, I'm part of this group. Well, I would say it's good. If it was bad, I would have drowned in the ocean. If it was bad, the army would have got me. If it was bad, I would have never left in the first place. But now I'm rich beyond measure. Must be good. So this is reverse logic. But in their minds, the stress of got to some people, and they thought God took them out there to kill them. They're not even able to think logically. Wait a minute. If God wanted to kill me, he could have done it in the water. He could have done it with the army. He could have kept me there in Egypt. But they weren't able to think like that. See, biblical logic is taking the facts of scriptures and thinking about them. And this builds up our faith. It strengthens our faith. It encourages our faith. We have to look at things from that standpoint. When we look at Lot, remember the story of Lot? angels came to visit Lot, and they told him what they were going to do, right? They're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the three other towns. If they wanted to let Lot die, what could they have done? Nothing. Don't go warn them. And they'll die along with everybody else. But because Lot was righteous in the eyes of God, he sent his angels there to deliver him. So what does that say about God's intentions for us? They're good. There's at least four of us in this room that should be dead, maybe five. But God provided the surgery to spare our lives. And how many more so in car wrecks should have died for the stupid things we've done? But God spared us from that. Why? As he told them in the Old Testament, I know the plans I have for you, and they are good. But they wouldn't listen to him. I know the plans that God has for us. That's what we got to encourage ourselves over. That God still has, if we're alive, God still has a plan for our lives. And it's easy to get sidelined in the negative thinking. I'm old, I'm over the hill, I'm too tired, whatever it is. Same old, just to keep working, just to keep working, I guess. And there's no faith in that. We're like cows in the field. All they do is eat grass and poop and wait around till they get harvested for dinner. It's kind of a negative approach to it all. But I think we adopt that thinking. There are so many instances of the Bible. The flood, we talked about this morning with Noah. If God wanted to wipe out Noah and his family, all God had to do was say nothing. Just go do it. But he had a good plan for Noah and his life. He had a good plan for Nineveh, and he delivered them from judgment. So the Bible is full of the histories of men and women, and God had a great plan for their lives. And just because you get old or beat up or tired, it still goes on. And that's what we got to encourage ourselves, that God has a plan for my life. Faith is persistent and perseveres. Doesn't give up after the first or second try. It just keeps on going. Even if you can only put a bony finger one more inch out today, you went forward one inch. Because you see, if there's a man or woman like that, you can't beat them. You can't defeat them. Because no matter what you do to them, they're still going to love the Lord. That's what the whole thing with Job was about. And he went through it. And none of us could appreciate what he went through. But he actually went through it. And he had some hard days and months. But his faith was still there. Even at times, it bubble up to the surface. He'd have an expression of hope. Then it just go right back down again. But you see, even when it went back down, his faith was still there. He still believed. He still trusted in God. And he said things like, even though he slay me, I will still trust in him. Now that's just words to you this morning. But if you live through something like that, you would appreciate it. Even though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him. Whatever the devil wants to do to us, that's what he did with the situation with Job. You know, he saw you've buttered his bread. He's going to serve you. Of course he will. God says, I'll put him in your hands, but you can't slay him. You can do whatever you want to this man, and I will not, but do not slay him. Whoa. Now he was in the hands of the devil, and it was the devil who did all that stuff to Job. And he's still alive. Did he want to die? Yes. Oh, yeah, that was his chant. From the womb to the tomb. Take me right out of the womb and throw me in the tomb. I wish he had never gone through that. Is that understandable? Are you a human being? If you are, it's understandable. To be involved in something so terrible, so painful, so debilitating and discouraging, you wish it was all over with. But, son of a gun, it's not. You have to live. You have to get up in the morning after you've lost the one you love the most, tears running down your face, not wanting to do anything. Because why? Because the one you love was your raison d'etre, your reason for living. Have you been to that place? Doubtful. But you still live. That's the problem. You're still alive. With all the hurt and the toil and suffering you've gone through, you still have to get up and throw something in the gullet and wash your face and start a new day. So it takes faith to go through those things and to prevail in victory. Faith needs to be reminded of the fact that God is covenanted with us. He, the eternal creator of the universe, who has no beginning or ending, has entered into a covenant with each one of his children. It's a legal arrangement. It's a legal contract, if you will. And it's all on his side. It's not on our side. It's all on his side of what he has agreed to do. And that's one of the things that we hang on to. He agreed to provide for us. He didn't have to. He said, well, kids, you're saved. Just go find your way in life. He didn't do that, did he? He agreed to provide all our needs. So when it comes down to it, whose responsibility is it? It's his, because that's something he agreed to do. He agreed to protect us. He agreed to have a perfect plan for our lives. Often, because as you get down to the end of the road, as you get older, you find yourself thinking about the past. And you think about other decisions that you could have made, maybe becoming a doctor, lawyer, going into business, making money. Of course, there's no end to the lust for money. So I think about my life, about being a pastor for going on 50 years. It's the most horrible pressure that you could ever imagine. But I wouldn't trade it. Because at the end of life, my life counted for something. To serve the Lord with your life, what greater honor is there than that? Sorry, I get my mint out. I get dry mouth, I don't know why. And I pulled the covenant card many times. When you pray and you're in desperate need for God to come through, I remind him of his promises to me, his plan for my life. I remind him of the eternal covenant we have with each other. By the way, in this covenant also come certain things such as your eternal rewards. Every Christian is going to be awarded and rewarded. It's going to be the currency or the coin of the realm in heaven. And you'll be placed in different positions in heaven. That will be a source of blessing. And if you look at the new bodies God has in store for you, your own personal home, palace that's yours, you have a position in the kingdom of God. Does not that tell you that God's intentions for you are good? We have to start thinking more about those things. And all of these big mouths that go around wanting to destroy everything in a great country, they have a reward coming for them. Hell. When they die, their soul leaves their bodies and goes directly to hell, where they will be face to face with the terror of demons who hate them and want to punish them. That's what they have waiting for them. While what we have waiting for us is a warm embrace of our Savior and our Father. Encouragement by other believers is helpful. And we need to do that. If somebody's complaining, give them a promise. If somebody's complaining, give them a doctrine. Pray for them. Encourage them to keep on trusting the Lord. Because you just very well may have stopped somebody from going down the wrong path in life. The Holy Spirit gives us faith. How does he do that? Well, it's part of his ministry, but when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's where faith starts to grow and bloom inside of you. So what does that tell us about the filling of the Holy Spirit? Do we need more of that or less?
More.
Prayer. Prayer is a vehicle that develops faith. How does that work? Well, the more we pray, the closer to God we get. And our prayers often lead us into area after area of faith. So just the very concept of prayer itself is helpful to faith. You know, our church was founded by older men and women, older biologically and older in the faith. These are people who'd come through World War II, come through the Depression. They knew hard times. They knew people, or maybe they had children that died in the war. They were tested. And they relied upon faith a lot. And they met together for the preaching of the Word of God and for praying as a church. So we could conclude that they were prayer warriors. Younger generation is what we have now. Oh, they're kind of like a bunch of goofy dogs sometimes. But we're not at the level of being the prayer warriors they were. And that's one of our goals as our church, is that we become a praying church. And getting down on our knees down to the nitty and gritty, as we would say, where you're praying for yourself, your family and friends, for the church, your pastor. We want to hold these people up in prayer all the time. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? The rest of the world doesn't know us. So we got to pray for one another. The Word of God develops faith. In fact, faith comes from a hearing of the Word of the Lord. So it's important. If you're going through a trial and you're asking God for wisdom, then what does that mean, ask him for wisdom in the context of a trial? Well, simply put, what do I do? Where do I go? How do I handle this? I don't know, God. So wisdom is the word of God that you have learned and understood and believed, and it's a part of your system. Now, that what makes wisdom wisdom is to take that and apply it. So when we apply wisdom or pray for wisdom, what we're asking God for is the doctrines that we need. Because when we have the doctrines, that gives us the faith that we need to go through the trial. And not just an inkling, but to be confident. To be confident in our prayers and in our thinking that God is going to provide. God is going to show me the way, whatever it is. So when you pray for wisdom, you're actually praying for applicable doctrine to your situation. And when you get that, what do you do with that? You meditate on it. You think about it. You let it motivate you, or it consumes you. Spiritual activity proceeds out of faith. Now, works, ergos in the Greek, people look at it as like works, but the trouble with the word works, we always connect it to what you do for a living. Works is activity, whatever your activity is. So it should be spiritual. The giving of money is a spiritual activity. Praying for somebody is a spiritual activity. Applying the Word of God. There are just so many things that are spiritual. And that's what we have to apply. Faith is a sign of the new nature created by God. How did you get the new nature? Well, the Holy Spirit led you to the doctrines about Christ. You put your trust in Christ, and He gave you faith. Faith is evidence that you have a new nature. You say, well, I don't have much faith. That's like you're saying you're not a lot pregnant, you're just some pregnant. You're either pregnant or not, right? Faith is a sign that you have a new nature. You read about the guys and gals in the Old Testament, they walk by faith. And that's how we're supposed to walk, by faith. The ability to walk by faith shows you've been born again. Do we have trouble sometimes with our faith? Yeah. Or with our flesh nature? Yes, we have trouble. We get our eyes on the world and not on the Word. You remember some guy in the boat that did that? Peter. You know, when the Lord told Peter, get out, come on out here, he was talking to the whole group. Only one got out of the boat, and he was actually walking on the water as long as he had his eyes on the Lord. What a perfect metaphor for the Christian life. You can't explain it better than that. As long as we keep our eyes on the Lord, our faith will be there. What happened to him, though? He got distracted by the wind and the waves. He got his eyes off the Lord and started looking at the problems of the world. And what happened? He started to sink in the water. And his great priestly prayer was, Lord, help. Right? So what's the lesson? Supernatural, what does that mean? Super comes from the Greek verb hooper. Means above. So it's just an English translation of super, like Superman. He was supernatural, means above the natural. And that's another metaphor right there, because he's not in the water, he's above it. He's walking on top of it. The Lord wanted to be 10 feet in the air and told Peter to do it. Peter probably go 10 feet in the air. Might hurt himself when he fell, but. So remember, these lessons from Scripture, think about those things. As long as we do what? Keep our eyes on the Lord. And how do we do that? Through the Word. You see, the Lord is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So by, He is the Word, and His Word is written down for us. So all we got to do is keep our eyes on the Lord. And that's the whole idea of faith and concentration and so forth. And by the way, keeping your eyes on the Lord. Now, what's going on around them? Big storm, waves and swells are going all over the place. Keeping your eyes on the Lord means exactly that. Do not look to the side. Do not look at the circumstances going on in our lives or in the country. Keep our eyes on the Lord, and we will have the victory over all the surrounding areas. We will do the supernatural. And the supernatural is the filling of the Spirit. Father, thank you for this word. We just pray you bless it in Christ's name. Amen.